This morning we want to look once again at our relationship with God. And we are going to be looking at what our Redeemer declares. This morning I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. This is a verse that maybe you know very well. Many messages have been preached on this, and we see this verse being claimed often as we look at our own country, the United States of America. And certainly, I believe that this verse can apply to our nation, just as it specifically applies to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. I don't want to take time to develop why we could sincerely claim this verse for our country. But what I do want you to see this morning is that this verse applies to our personal lives, to our marriages, to our communities, to our churches. It's something that we can look at and recognize that our Redeemer has declared truth to us that can set us free. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Father God, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you. I thank you for the relationship that you initiated and that you sustain and that you complete. Lord, I thank you that we can know you because of the resurrection life and power of your Son, our Savior. Now, Lord, we come to you this morning recognizing that you have given us ears to hear. And Lord, I pray that we would hear the word clearly today and that we would leave here committed to doing the word. Lord, may our hearts be full of obedience and adoration. Lord, I pray for every person here, Lord, every individual. God, each of us came in here with a different kind of week. Lord, we have different backgrounds. And Lord, we have different needs. But we have one source that can meet every single need, can give us an opportunity to see power in every situation and circumstance that we are experiencing. Lord, I thank you for listening to our prayer. I thank you for being a God that deeply cares for us. And as we've just acknowledged in song, a God that loves us even beyond our comprehension. Lord, I pray that our love, my love, would be deepened because of the experience that I can have with you, even at this moment, with other believers. And I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." There's two things that we want to look at this morning. First of all, we want to see our relationship declared, and then we want to see our responsibility defined. This verse helps us understand why we can have assurance in our relationship and then what we must do to keep that relationship on our part active and to the point where we have forgiveness and healing as the rule in our life. 2 Chronicles was written again by one of the prophets who had access to the very thoughts of God. The Bible tells us clearly that holy men of God were moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so what we have in the Bible is infallible, it is inerrant, it is accurate, it is powerful. It is what our Redeemer declares. It is the Word. W-O-R-D, what our Redeemer declares. And of course, Jesus Christ is the living Word. And as we give our lives to Him, that Word then is living in and through us. That's relationship. Look at this first line of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name. That's powerful. You know, sometimes when we look at a verse like this, and we've seen it many times, we miss some important aspects. I saw this a couple of weeks ago, and it just struck me. This is God saying, you are my people. You are called by my name. He's speaking to Solomon. And Solomon has just offered prayer to God, and he's gone through several scenarios about what could happen with God's people. And as he goes through those scenarios in prayer, God then shows up one night after they had gone through a tremendous time of celebration and worship and prayer and fasting, and God says these words specifically to Solomon about his people. God is declaring the relationship. Now, this is important to understand because the things that follow are available for God's people. And if God's people do these things, then God will act accordingly. The important thing as we look at this beginning is that God declares the relationship. I want to show you a few verses here about our relationship. This verse here, or this passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, is actually pointing to the future, but it gives the point here. God is making a declaration. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, that you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is God's declaration. Look at John. Here we have Jesus coming and saying clearly, my sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And these verses here sometimes can create a lot of concern. And this is where we want to really come to as we look at the Lord's declaration of who we are. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus says these words, and they're sobering. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These words seem very hard. And at times, people can look at these things and say, well, wait a minute, does this mean that somehow we can go through all of this life thinking that we have a relationship with God and then find out that we don't? We need to recognize that if we are basing our relationship with God only on what we are declaring, then we need to step back and we need to honestly evaluate whether or not we are God's. Now, I want to illustrate this. If we had someone in this area get on a search engine and start looking up my name, so that they could get information about me. And as they did that, it expanded into other names and into the ministry. And they began to accumulate a massive amount of information just on me because they want me to be in their life and they want to do things for me. And so they begin with that search engine. And as they gain knowledge, they then go to other people outside who might have known me for many years. And they begin to look at my family and my children. They look at the ministry. They look at places where I've been. And they get to know me by doing this. And then they walk into my community and they begin to start talking to people about me. And they even start doing things representing me. And people are amazed. Who is this person? Dave has never told us about this person. This person really knows him. There must be a fantastic relationship. And they are looking at that and they are recognizing through what he is declaring that he has a relationship with me. And then he walks up onto my porch. He knocks at my door. And I open up the door and he says, Dave, I'm here. I'm ready to live with you. I'm ready to take possession of things that you have. Give me the keys to your car. Give me the keys to your home. I'm going to immediately say, wait a minute. Who are you? Well, what are you talking about? I can tell you about your kids. I can tell you about things that I've done for you. I have done things even recently in the community for you and for the ministry. I again will say, wait a minute. Who are you? How in the world can I give possession and give a prominent place in my life to someone that I have never known? My friends, we have to be very careful. The Bible is clear about our relationship with the Lord. God has initiated it. God has made it possible for us to have that relationship. We have to have the relationship then the way He has determined for that relationship to begin and to continue. Please do not think that just by being involved in ministry, being involved in church, simply by reading the Word and knowing the Word is going to secure your relationship with Jesus. There has to be an opportunity, a time in your life where you have looked at the Word of God and you have heard God's Spirit and the Spirit of God has convicted you of sin and you look to Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary, who rose from the dead, and you say, Jesus, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my sin. I am coming to you because you are my hope. You are the one that can give me life. I repent of my sin and now I trust you as my Savior. And at that moment, because you did it God's way, God then declares that you are His. You and I cannot determine that simply by what we are doing or what we are saying. Our relationship has to be done in God's way. And so many people, according to that verse in Matthew chapter 7, are going to hear those words, I never knew you. As preachers of the gospel, as people who know the Lord, who have His Spirit giving witness in our lives, it is our responsibility to make sure that everyone knows that we aren't talking about just some club you can join, some box you can check, as Pastor Sean has said so many times. We are talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And in order to have that, we have to go through the door that God has made. He is the door. He is the shepherd. He is the one who gives us life. Make sure that is the kind of relationship you have. Because you know in your heart that the Spirit of God is saying to you that you are sealed unto the day of redemption because you came to God His way and that relationship now is secure. That is what our Redeemer declares. And God here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, is making it clear that the people He's talking to have gone through the door that they were supposed to go through. They aren't like the Pharisees that Jesus was partially referring to in Matthew chapter 7, who knew everything there was to know about the faith context and yet had no relationship with God. And as we have that relationship, as God then is declaring in your heart and my heart that we are His, He then lets us know that when we have difficulty and struggle in our life and circumstances that are pressing down on us, and there seems to be hopelessness because of decisions we've made, because of sin that we've allowed in our life, that we can have an opportunity to be forgiven and to be healed simply by following the instructions that He has for us here. There are four things that we see here, and these four things build on each other. The first thing that we have here clearly is that we are to humble ourselves before God. In 2 Chronicles, we see an amazing thing. Solomon has been given the opportunity to build the temple of God. It is a massive building, and it is designed to bring glory to God. The Ark of the Covenant will be placed there, and God will be dwelling among His people. The Shekinah glory of God will be there just as it was when they were traveling in the wilderness. It was an amazing event. David wanted to build that temple, but God said, no, you cannot, but you can understand that I'm giving that privilege to your son. And David did so much in preparation so that his son could build a temple, not just in providing materials, but David as a father at that point in time made sure that his son Solomon understood that he needed to follow God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now Solomon has the privilege of dedicating the temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we see Solomon coming to the place where he is ready to dedicate the temple and to make it official. And before the altar in the outer court, he built a platform that was 5 cubits wide, 5 cubits long, and 3 cubits high. And he got up on that platform. And he called all of the people there. He said, all of you gather around. Now, he's the king. Understand this. Man, if anyone could have had the opportunity to look at who he was and how God had elevated him to that position, it was Solomon. But what did the king do? As he stood on that bronze platform with all of the people looking at him, he fell to his knees. The Bible tells us he raised his arms up. And then he cried out, O Lord God, you are above all gods, both in heaven and in earth. He humbled himself before God. My friends, this is the key that unlocks the door to the next three things that we will see here this morning. We have to come to God and humble ourselves. And Pastor Sean has made this point so many times. When we come to the Lord and worship Him and we give Him praise, that will automatically bring us to a position of humility. Because honest worship, honest praise, lets us understand and focus on the fact that He is the potter, we are the clay. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is the captain of our salvation. We are his soldiers, his ambassadors. He is over all. If you want to come to this place as you are looking at your life situation and you recognize that there is turmoil in that part of your life that has been given over to sin. If your marriage is crumbling right now, it needs restoration. If you are in a Christian community and there seems to be all kinds of division, understand that this is the first part of making sure that you are in a position to let God hear you and to let God forgive you and heal you. You have to humble yourself. Worship God will bring you to that position. Let's look at a few verses about humility. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. James chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians 2, chapter 5, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and then verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. As we follow Jesus, we recognize clearly that he, as the Son of God, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Certainly, if Jesus is humbling himself as a Son of God, the Son of Man, we too need to follow him into that place and humble ourselves. Once you humble yourself, this is something that will happen. As you are humble before God, the next thing becomes a natural part of your experience. You will find yourself in prayer. And when we see prayer becoming intense, we can add fasting to that. Let's look at some verses about prayer. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer was Paul's instruction to the church at Rome. In James chapter 5, we read, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. If you remember this passage here in Matthew chapter 17, the disciples couldn't do something for a young man. And Jesus said the reason why you couldn't do it was because you had not taken the opportunity for this kind of prayer and fasting that would have allowed you to have the opportunity to see the victory in relieving this young man of what he was experiencing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." As we humble ourselves before God, this will be a natural outcome. We will find ourselves in tune with prayer. Some of us understand how difficult prayer can be. Man, there are times where you just try to pray, but you become distracted and all of those things. And yes, it is an experience that we see in Scripture by even the disciples as they were with Jesus the night that he was betrayed. And we see it throughout the experience of so many down through the ages. And every time, prayer can be brought back into the focus if we go back to the first step, we humble ourselves. When you are in that attitude of worship and you are recognizing who God is, the distractions begin to melt away. They begin to fade away, and you find yourself having the opportunity to just pray. And as you were struggling with it at first, it all of a sudden becomes something that is just part of you. It is flowing through you, and you recognize that the Spirit of God is even right there helping you in the prayer. And as you get intense with prayer, you begin to recognize the importance of letting go of a meal or letting go of several meals in a row, fasting because you are brought to that place because you are humble before God, knowing that this is what He expects, but this is also what will bring an end result that will bring victory and triumph in your life. And so as we humble ourselves and as we pray, the very next thing that we see coming almost naturally is what we read here, seeking God's face. Man, when I saw these words this week, they just helped me to recognize once again what God is talking about when He is mentioning on a regular basis in His Word that I have a relationship with Him. My wife and I have been married almost a year. September 9th. We will be 1 year anniversary, and I am just so grateful for Daisy. And she is in India right now, and it might be maybe another year before the visa is approved. But every day we communicate. Every morning, it's her night there. We talk, we laugh, sometimes we cry, we pray. And then every night, as I am ready for bed, she is ready for her day, and we are praying, and we are just thanking God for what we have. I am so grateful that we live in this age where we have so many modes of communication. In fact, I have discovered so many ways now that we can communicate that doesn't cost anything. WhatsApp and Viber and all of these other applications that are out there for iPhones and iPads and FaceTime. Man, I love to FaceTime with her. And this week, we were FaceTiming. And as we were looking at each other, we just had that moment that comes from a relationship. And both of us, almost at the same time, we just leaned toward the screen. And in doing that, we're kind of wanting to get closer, even though we're still separated by over 8,000 miles. And all of a sudden, Daisy put her hands on the screen, reaching out, and she said, "I wish I could just touch your face." And almost instantly, that phrase came to my mind. And I said, "Daisy, you have just helped me to understand what God wants from me and my relationship with Him." God doesn't want us to stand afar off. He doesn't want us just to look at Him. He doesn't want us just to speak to Him. He wants to have intimacy with us. Have you ever noticed what it's like when your children are away, those of you that have kids, and then when they come back to you to embrace them, and if you watch parents as they're reacting to being away from their kids for a period of time, they will rub their child's face. It's just a natural thing because it's an intimate part of relationship. This past week, Jordan Sloat and I were coming over here to Believer's Chapel, and Brendan and Teresa's oldest daughter was standing at the window looking out at the parking lot. As I drove the van in, I drove in a way where she didn't see Jordan in the seat. And she just loves Jordan. I got out of the van, and there she is standing at the window, and she's just waving, and I could read her lips. Hi, Pastor Dave. And then all of a sudden, she saw Jordan. And her hands went up, her mouth and eyes got huge, and you could see, Jordan! And she ran out that room, ran to the door, jumped into his arms, and held onto his face. And I said, that's exactly what God wants me to do. That's what God wants you to do. God wants us to be in a position where we are intimate with Him. He's saying here specifically, don't just seek me, seek my face. I want to touch you. I want you to touch me. Let's look at some verses. But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Friends, if you're having problems right now in your life, in your marriage, in the community that you're in, God has a way for you to have forgiveness and healing be a part of your life. He's declared that you are His. And because of His declaration, humble yourself. That will lead to prayer. Prayer will lead to fasting. Prayer and fasting will lead to a desire to have a great intimacy with God like you've never had before. And when that happens, the next thing happens. And turn from their wicked ways. A one-word statement for that would be repentance. Let's look at some verses here about repentance. Come and let us return to the Lord. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn all from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Man, this is so powerful. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Repentance is key. Turning from the lifestyle that we have chosen for that period of time, turning from the sin that God has said is detestable and that He hates, and we come back to that place where He can actually do what He has promised to do for those who take this relationship seriously. My mother is almost 80, and I'm in my mid-50s. And I know as a little boy, I always wanted to please my parents. I wanted them to be proud of me. But I have discovered that the more time I'm spending with my mom in these years of my life and her life, the closer that I'm becoming to once again experience what I was experiencing in my young years. I want to please my mom. I don't want her to be disappointed in me. And it makes me desire to do the things that I know then that are right. This is what happens when we go through this process, this relationship with God. As we get to that point where we humble ourselves and we're praying and we're seeking His face, we can't help but want to turn away from the sin that would prohibit us to have victory. And we turn toward Him. That's repentance. And we claim the relationship that we have. And this is what He says He will do for individuals, for churches, for marriages, for families, and yes, for the nation. He will hear from heaven. He will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hallelujah. What a God we have. This is what He's asking us to do as believers. He declares the relationship. We follow the instruction of salvation. And as we experience sin, and Solomon said this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I love this part of his prayer. He says, God, when your people have sinned and the consequences of those sins are upon us. And then in parentheses, it says, Solomon is saying, for everyone will sin. He's acknowledging the fact that sin is still present in this world and that we have, all of us have, to understand that sin can affect us at any moment. And Solomon is recognizing that as this sin can trouble us and trouble our homes and trouble our nation and trouble our marriages, he's saying, God, help me to understand how we can correct this. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 gives Solomon an answer. And God says, look it, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's hope. There is hope because of the relationship that we have that He has declared. And as we humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and repent, we can be sure that God will keep up what He has promised us as individuals and as a group of people. Why? Because He's true to His word and because He loves every single one of us. Father God, I pray that You would help us to understand Your power and Your presence and Your plan and Your purpose today. Lord, I thank You for the fact that You take care of everything. You have fulfilled Your word time and time again, and You will continue to do it throughout eternity. There is no question about that. Your word is true. And so, Lord, as we've looked at this one verse this morning, we pray that the truth of Your word will set us free. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, and you are not sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship, a relationship that He declares is there, then I want to encourage you just to remember this. God loves you. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came. He was perfect in every way, holy and righteous. He became the Lamb of God that would take your sin. He was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and all of your sin was placed on Him that day. God's wrath poured out on His own Son for you. Jesus bled and died. They took Him. They put Him in a tomb. 3 days later, just like He said He would do, He rose from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. And today He says to you, come unto Me, all you that labored are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to Jesus today. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, if you just aren't sure about the whole thing, come to Jesus today. Confess the fact that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. Believe that He died for you, that He rose from the dead. Repent of your sin. Just turn from your sin and say, Jesus, by faith I receive You. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a believer here today and you're just struggling, perhaps you recognize that there's sin in your life and you know that it has to be dealt with, I want to encourage you to go to the very first step and humble yourself before God. As you do that, you will see your prayer life come alive. You will have the opportunity to become more intimate with God as you seek His face, and you will see the ability given to you to repent and to turn from sin and to come back to that place where God can heal you, God can forgive you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be here today, one in you. Lord, wherever we are in our faith, Lord, we know that you will meet us right there. May we seek you. May we listen to you. May we be doers of the word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.